Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line on KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM. The number to call, 576-7710. I'm Pastor Barry Freese from McMurray United Methodist Church, along with...
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with...
Well,
we have the rabbi with us.
I haven't seen... I think it's you and me at the moment.
Oh, right.
Okay. I'm a scary
what
thought.
Will we ever
how,
talk
how was
about?
Your week? Anything stand out in the time since we've been together last?
You know, it was a pretty good week. I wasn't too happy with the cold weather, but I was glad that I'd raked my leaves last week.
You raked your leaves.
How about you, Barry? How are you doing?
I'm so, well. You know, the truth is, I didn't rake my leaves.
Oh.
But we've had stuff going on. Terrorism still in the news,
yeah.
In the name of God. And that is really something. The challenges that are faced there in Mali was the latest, and it is just amazing that we have that option.
Well, and I think as religious people, and this is Religion on the Line, we've got to be concerned that it gives religion a bad name, because there's what a terrible witness. To have people killing other people and justifying it, you know, using the name of God, and the Pope is very clearly, I mean, he's not the first one, of course, to say this, but that is blasphemy. It is blasphemy to say that or suggest in any way that God wants me to kill other people to achieve some sort of political aim. And you know, if you really think about it, how weak is your God? That he needs you to do these terrible and awful things in order to achieve a result in the world. God is always concerned not just with the ends that are trying to be achieved, no matter how laudable you might think those are, but also the means. I mean, that's part of the foundation of religion, is that there are certain means. The ends don't justify the means. And so I think as religious people, we need to be praying, but we also need to be in dialogue with the secular world, particularly people who are atheist or agnostic, because they're going to look at these kinds of things and they're not going to say, well, this is, you know, a heresy or a misunderstanding of religion. They're going to just lump all religion together and say, see, this is the kind of thing that happens when you put religion front and center in your life, and we need to give a better, as religious people, we need to give a better witness to what it means to not only believe in God, but actually live it. You know, and I've been thinking too this lately, this concept Pope Benedict, he talked about practical atheism, in which we say we believe in God, but there's really no evidence. You know, we're living our life as if there isn't a God. And when things like this happen, it's kind of, nature abhors a vacuum, so it sort of fills in. So yeah, I think we need to be praying about this, and we need to be in dialogue as such. So yeah, but it's scary times. I mean, I think 10, 20 years ago, would we ever have thought that religion would be coming to the center of the geopolitical stage? And yet here we are.
Well, it's a heck of a way to get there.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is ethics, and yeah. how do you live that out? One of my favorite questions in Bible studies, and particularly when we're talking doctrine or dogma, is so what?
Yeah.
You know, what difference does that really make, that somebody could see, that somebody could taste and see that the Lord is good, that somebody could experience in terms of care and that kind of thing? So the thing that we're seeing is a few fundamentalists, essentially, that have are combining their faith with a real brutal version of religion and political, you know, dogma. The whole naming thing on ISIS, Daesh or Daesh, is a much more common phrase for that group. The Pentagon uses that, and so forth. And in my opinion, I've come to understand and believe that people, the people that suffer the most, that are wounded the most globally, from all the fundamentalism and particularly the terrorism, is are the Muslims. In other words, yeah. There are more Muslim victims from the current wave than there are of any others. Particularly when you take a look at Syria, but globally as well.
Well, and terrorism, they want to instill fear, and so you have to ask the question, why? What do they want me to be afraid of, and what is the result they want? And I think it's pretty clear what they're trying to spark is a Western pushback against Islam, because that plays right into their hands. So, I mean, last week we had a gentleman call in, and he was having an internal moral struggle with, he saw a woman in a hijab, you know, which is the head covering that some Muslim women wear. And he said, I wanted to go up to that woman, and I wanted to yell at her. And I wanted to say, get out of my country. But I realized I wasn't being a very good Christian if I were to do that. But I think ISIS wants that. ISIS wants us as Western Europeans to push back.
I'm pleased to welcome Rabbi Michael Zedek.
All right. Hey, Rabbi.
Good morning.
Hi,
how you
guys.
Doing, Michael?
I'm okay, thanks. Martel and I had a little bit of our first encounter. Is Martel our new producer?
Well, he is today. I don't know what the long-term plan is.
Well,
but
welcome to our show,
Welcome
to our show, Martel, and I'll be delighted to be part of the challenge and conversation today. I presume, obviously, talking about the push-pull on the whole Syrian refugee piece, and what does it say about who we are?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Well, you know, we're just talking about faith, you know, lived out, and often what makes the news is faith that causes people to either shake their head or duck their head or run for cover if they get the opportunity. You know, the damage being done to more to Muslims than anyone, but certainly a factor. And I was reminded this week of the efforts, I think it was the late 90s, in Eastern European troubles, the United States made a very plain point to take in quite a few Muslim refugees. And I heard this week that Canada is accepting 25,000, I think, and they're very well organized about it. So good on our friends to the north.
I certainly agree, but one of the things that I was very touched by was a column in the Chicago Tribune by a gentleman by the name of Rex Hupke. My name is Rex Hupke, and I don't know how America should deal with the Islamic State. I didn't arrive at that admission easily. Since the hideous terrorist attacks in Paris, I wanted to opine, to lecture those whose reactions seemed wrong, and to lift up those whose words sounded right. I wanted to summon reasoned prose that would map a logical course out of this horror that scares and sends and enrages us all. But after reading a weekend's worth of Twitter blah blah and listening to political candidates pointlessly pontificate, I think that's an insult against the pontificate, but I decided not to join the off-key course. I decided to admit what most of us should admit. I don't have the answers. I thought he really hit something
opening.
Very important there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's, as you know, last week I talked a little bit about coming back from the Holy Land and being in Israel, and we shared about that. I'm just flip-flopping back and forth on how we respond to people that are going to be violent. What am I willing? What probably have I already given up in terms of privacy? As the electronic eavesdropping is so pervasive, and I think I was probably of one particular mind when I left Israel, and the Paris situation, the Mali situation, all of that is really moving me around on this. I do not have a firm stand other than to shake my head and go tisk tisk, which really doesn't do this. Michael, we've got a caller. John is on the air. Good morning, John. You're on Religion on the Line. You called 576-7710. How are you?
Doing all right. I think I figured out what I had a problem with last week.
Well,
thanks for calling back, John.
Yeah.
see, when she's wearing that full face scarf and the hijab, when I look at the Pope, I see him wearing his garb. Yeah. I see a man dedicated to his religion. Or if I see a Jewish priest, you know, wearing his garb, his get up, you know, I see a man dedicated to his religion. Or a Buddhist, when he's wearing his garb, he's dedicated to that. If we don't subscribe to those religions, we're just lost souls. We look at each other, oh, you're just lost soul, whatever. But if when you're Muslim, you're not a lost soul, you're an infidel. And I think that's what got me.
Wait a minute, are you saying the Muslim's an infidel, or you're saying people?
No, the Muslims, when they believe, because the Quran says if you do not subscribe to Islam, you're an infidel, and either subscribe, submit, or die.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I don't like. I think that, and until they put a massive fatwa out there that says all people have a right to live, no, murder is no longer acceptable in Islam, then I think I'm still going to have.
I think you can, if you've been paying attention to the news, I even have one right in front of me that is exactly that, including quoting from the Quran, the one who takes a single life, not a single Muslim life.
Yeah,
but a single life has destroyed the entire world,
wow.
Which is also found in Judaism, by the way. Mm. But
Michael,
where I think you're, yeah.
John, can you hang on just a minute? We've got a break here, and we need to do that. John, I hope you'll stay with us, and Michael, I look forward to hearing from you. Religion on the Line, KCMO Talk Radio.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing severe service and attention to detail for over 20 years. RainerKC.com.
It's Carson for MyPillow.com. You would never want to have a pillow fight with a MyPillow from MyPillow.com. It would be an insult to the pillow. Seriously, they're that good. You wouldn't hit someone with a MyPillow. Now, you might have a pillow fight over your MyPillow with your spouse. She'll say, I want the MyPillow. I'm going to sleep with a MyPillow. And you say, no, you don't. It's MyPillow. Well, guess what? You don't have to fight. You can get two of them. You can get two of the official pillows of the National Sleep Foundation. You can get two of the pillows that I talk about on the radio that are American-made, that have a 10-year warranty, that are machine washable and dryable, that have an interlocking fill that cradles your head in comfort. You can have two of them for the price of one. All you got to do is go to MyPillow.com and enter KCMO as the code. All right, MyPillow.com, enter KCMO, or you can call 1-800-544-8933. And say KCMO. Again, it's MyPillow.com. Enter KCMO.
The economy still matters, and it can either be boon or bane to your investments. This is portfolio manager Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the Capitalist Pig Show, heard every Saturday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. The economy is always oscillating between periods of boom and bust, and that's as true today as it was 100 years ago. At Butler Lands and Wagler, we provide you with the best chance to navigate our ever-changing economy by stacking the odds of success in your favor. We do that by investing with the trends, which are themselves reflective of our economy. The biggest difference between us and other financial advisors is that when the environment changes, so do we. This value-added approach gives you peace of mind, regardless what the economy and markets give us. You can learn more by downloading our free report at investontrack.com or giving us a call at 913-696-1919. That's investontrack.com and 913-696-1919.
Hello, friends. I'm Ernie Rodina, your host of the Better Horses Radio Show, Sunday mornings at 9 on KCMO Talk Radio. Myself, along with my co-host, Don Dawson, will bring you the latest equine information on what is going on locally and nationally. You know, being born and raised in Kansas City and bringing Better Horses Radio home means an awful lot to me. So if you love horses and want to hear from some of the best in the industry, make sure you tune in on Sunday mornings at 9 to Better Horses Radio here on KCMO Talk Radio. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so there's this girl at this party on Christmas Eve, and her weird uncle gives her a nutcracker, which is really a doll, but they call it a nutcracker. Well, at night, mice run all over, which is not good. And her doll comes to life and fights the mice, and then the girl fights too, but with her shoe. And then we took a break from the show and got snacks at halftime. And then they win and go to the doll's world with snowflakes and dancing candy. People say that snowflakes and candy can't really dance, but they were dancing. So I guess it's just magic and stuff. And then she comes back and wakes up like it's a dream.
Ignite their imagination with Kansas City Ballet's all-new production of The Nutcracker, presented by Bank of America, opening December 5th at the Kauffman Center. Get your tickets at kcballet.org and imagine again this holiday season.
They made it like a dream, but I think it was real.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve, as they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve to live full and independent lives, even when there's no government funding or a nursing home seems like the only option. We won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Join us at findwwp.org.
Kansas City, now you're talking. KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line. KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM. The number to call, 576-7710. I'm Pastor Barry Fries from McMurray United Methodist Church in Clay Como, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. And I trust you guys have mentioned that Bob is away this weekend, and we hope we'll be back next week. My goodness, next week is Thanksgiving.
It will be good. Now, John's still with us, so hanging in there, John. How are you? You want to finish those thoughts there?
Well, I'd like to comment on John's reflection. John's still with us here. Good, John. Thanks. First, again, thank you for calling in, and thank you for being so forthright with your concern and your reflections on those concerns. So, I almost don't really care what religion someone belongs to in this regard. I fully expect a person to presume their religion is the best religion. Why else would they be part of it?
Yeah.
However, there is a line between best and only. Islam does not suggest it is the only religion. So-called people of the book, which are Jews and Christians, are in a separate category. They're not infidels. They're not subjected to, even if we were living in medievalism, which is what ISIS tries to do, the same notions that infidels are, who have purportedly, in a literalist interpretation, a choice of conversion or death. But the critical thing to me is, what are the factors that take a tradition which has both moments of great openness and tolerance for others? And tolerance is not enough, by the way, from my perspective. I want acceptance. I don't want tolerance. And turn it into fanatical exclusion. For instance, one of the great moments in pre-modern history is the so-called Golden Age in Spain, in which Islam was the ruling religion, and Christians and Jews lived in harmony, generally, with all. And the reason that, to the extent that one can isolate, what's the difference? It was that there was economic expansion and prosperity as opposed to dislocation, which seems to get people to be less ideologically absolutist. You can find in any tradition, we're the only ones. The question is, when does that become ascendant?
So what do you think about that, John?
Well, I like what Rabbi Michael said, and it sounds like it's a lot of truth there, and that's what I'm searching for is why, you know, and I don't know, I just, you know, like the, you know, I don't want to give them any, any more than this, but, you know, the Phelpses, they're a radical Christian group,
yeah,
but they're not out chopping people's heads off either. They're just making people angry, protesting at funerals, which is a disgusting thing to do, but at least they're not chopping people's heads off.
Well, but, you know, who knows? I don't know much about the Phelps group with regard to this, but certainly in our history of Christian religion, there have been periods of history where people have defamed the name of Christ by using that as a cause for war. I think, too, touching on what the rabbi said as well, really what you were talking about, And I think the Muslims who are saying this is not authentic Islam, ISIS is not authentic Islam, really, I think what they're saying is this is a heretical interpretation of Islam. And historically, what we might call this is dualism. And dualism is this idea that there's this good force and then there's this evil force. So there's God and there's Satan. And who's ever on Satan's side ceases to be human, ceases to have rights. And you can do whatever you want. You can kill them or torture them or whatever advances your cause. And that's not compatible with monotheism, particularly in the Jewish, Muslim, and Christian tradition. And please jump in, guys, and tell me what you think of this. But I mean, this idea, you know, we believe in a God that created all of humanity and made God in His image, made us in His image. So everybody has a special dignity that needs to be respected regardless of what they believe and to a certain extent, regardless of how they behave. And the problem is with this understanding of Islam is that they don't respect that. You're either with us or you're against us. And if you're against us, then we can do whatever we want to do because you're evil. You're on the side of the devil or the demiurge or the evil force. So and that's a chronic problem that all religions have had throughout history is falling into this kind of dualism, which is not compatible with monotheism.
Yeah, and that's the precept that I was sitting there looking at that I'm reflecting on is the fact that I believe that everyone has an equal right to live in this world peacefully.
Yes.
No matter if they believe in God, don't believe in God, if they believe that there's spirits in the wood, you know, the trees or whatever, and they want to go knocking on the wood, and, you know, knock on wood, and, you know, they want to, whatever they want to believe, that's cool, knock yourself out, you know, I mean, that's great. You want to be dedicated to that? Right on. But I have a right to exist and live in this world, just in my family, just as much as any other person, and that's, they don't subscribe to that same.
No, John. You're assuming that ISIS is Islam, and first of all, they've killed more Muslims than any other community. Second, all serious Muslims except themselves reject them.
Okay.
It's a minority causing a big problem.
Yeah.
In the sense of it,
they're saying the KKK is Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of like communism. There are just a few people that are communists that rule over a whole bunch of people.
No,
you'd have to ask whether you include the billions of Chinese. So on the whole communist thing, John, I'm impressed with your self-reflection, and I appreciate you you helping us out, getting us started today. My hope is, my prayer would be that other listeners would follow your example and take time to reflect on their, you know, initial reactions. So my compliments to you. Have a good Sunday.
Yeah, you guys as well.
Thank you very much. We're coming up on another break. This is KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM. You can find us on kcmotalkradio.com, on the internet as well. I think the iHeartRadio app, I use TuneIn Radio, and that's a good one as well. Religion on the Line, KCMO Talk Radio, back in a bit.
Hi there, Kevin Jordan, Interstate 49 Truck Center in sunny Grandview. And I'd like to thank the folks in the Kansas City area for using our shop and making it a booming success. So remember us for service and repairs on your International, Isuzu GM, Ford Powerstroke, and Duramax diesel engines. We're just a chip shot away on the old 71 highway or the new Interstate 49 at 155th. Just look for the bucket trucks. Call 816 322-2333. And we'll see you on the garage floor.
The Health and Wellmobile, made possible by Diagnostic Imaging Centers, PA. In partnership with SafeKC, Kansas City Pediatrics, and MidAmerica Coalition on Health, bring health and wellness directly to you. Free and low-cost health screenings, scans, and health education are provided daily all around Kansas City.
Free blood pressure and glucose checks, hearing screenings, and more at the Mexican Consulate, downtown Kansas City, Missouri, and the Celebrate Life and Good Health event at Bethel AME Church in Kansas City, Kansas.
Visit us online at healthwellmobile.com.
CBS News Update. President Obama today vowing the U.S. won't back down in the fight against ISIS after the Paris terror attacks, the death toll now 130.
They can't beat us on the battlefield, so they try to terrorize us into being afraid, into changing our patterns of behavior, into panicking, into abandoning our allies and partners, into retreating from the world. And as president, I will not let that happen.
Mr. Obama wrapped up a 9-day trip to Asia, and including Turkey, where he spoke with Russian president.
As a consequence of ISIL claiming responsibility for bringing down their plane, there is an increasing awareness on the part of President Putin that ISIL poses a greater threat to them than anything else in the region.
President Obama says Russia needs to go after ISIS in Syria, not the opposition forces trying to topple Syrian President Bashar Assad, Putin's ally. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
You'll want a heavy jacket this morning, but by later on this afternoon, it's going to be a nicer day than what we saw yesterday. With sunny skies expected, 49 degrees will be our high. Southwest winds will be light between 5 and 10 miles per hour. For tonight with clear skies, get ready for another chilly night as temperatures fall to around 32 degrees. Winds will remain out of the southwest between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Schulman.
Here's an idea I've been throwing around.
Okay.
We're just thinking out loud here.
Thinking out loud.
We've made some changes recently.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
And you've responded in a big way.
That's a good point, too. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get.
We're fine-tuning the lineup.
I actually kind of suggested that.
Carson in the Morning is now on 6 till 10.
It may have already happened.
Followed by Steve Sutton, 10 till noon.
Wow, this is just too much.
Greg Knapp still brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
That kind of talk is what gets everybody going.
This is KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM and AM 710.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
You may be one of the 1 in 26 Americans who will develop epilepsy in their lifetime. To help the millions of people who experience their first seizure each year and the physicians who care for them, the American Academy of Neurology and the American Epilepsy Society have released a new guideline on how to treat a first seizure. It shows there is strong evidence that for adults who have had a first seizure, the risk of another seizure is greatest within the first 2 years. The risk ranges from about a 1 in 5 chance to nearly a 1 in 2 chance. But the guideline also found that taking epilepsy drugs immediately after a first seizure may reduce the risk of having another seizure. If you have had a first seizure, it is important that you talk with your neurologist and have a meaningful conversation so that your individual circumstances, balance of risks and benefits, and personal preferences are understood and accounted for before starting any treatment. To learn more about epilepsy, visit AAN.com. That's AAN.com.
It does not, at this point, look like anything's going to happen, so it might be time to measure the president and what is to be done.
John Batchelor, weeknights 9 till midnight on KCMO Talk Radio.
You've got religion on the line, KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM, also available on the internet. The number to call, 576-7710. I'm Pastor Barry Fries, McMurray United Methodist Church in Clay Como, along with
Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Guys, have any of you had cause to refer to the notion, if not the fact, that Jesus and his parents were refugees?
We have not talked about that this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also saw a column where somebody, when the suggestion was that we'd only let Christians in, that if the Christian is let in, wouldn't he or she say we might need to be open to everyone?
I am just amazed at the stance some folks are taking on this refugee deal. It illustrates, in my opinion, some just really stupid thinking. I mean,
frightened thinking.
Yeah,
too, for sure.
Yeah, scary. Yeah. So I just don't get it. I think Governor Brownback is certainly on the list of folks. We haven't heard, if we've heard from Governor Nixon, I've not made note of that, talking about our Kansas and Missouri folks.
That'd be interesting to get a call and have a dialogue with someone about that. Of do you think we should be letting the Syrian refugees in, or do you think that's a good policy that we should just say, hey, let's keep them out? It seems I think everybody's got to say our heart needs to go out to these refugees, because they're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place, where they feel driven out of their country because of what ISIS is doing. Yet at the same time, no country seems to want them, because they suspect that ISIS members are using that as cover to go into other countries. So yeah, that's pretty. Our heart has to go. We need to be praying for those people, those innocent women, men, and children who are just trying to live, and yet are unwanted because of fear. So yeah, if you have an opinion about that, if you think what Governor Brownback's doing is awful, let's hear about it. Or if you think that's the right call, we'd love to enter into discussion with you.
Makes you wonder if some of these folks had civics in junior high, understanding that, at least my understanding is, that immigration is a federal issue. It's not something where the states have jurisdiction. Is that your understanding?
That's the law, but that doesn't mean that that the political process doesn't cause to constantly focus on how we can make some noise, either because it really is our own conviction, or because we think it will somehow be promoting of a position that enhances my political fortunes, which, quite honestly, the cynic in me thinks that that's all too much. When Governor Chris Christie, I'm going to be paraphrasing, you know, I wouldn't take in a 3-year-old orphan or something.
Hmm. Boy,
it was something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've
got Jim on the line, and Jim, you've responded to this refugee situation. Good morning. You're on Religion on the Line. You dialed 576-7710. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Well,
great.
I got everywhere I'm supposed to be so far today,
yeah.
so that's good. What do you have to say?
Well, I'm extremely cautious of this refugee thing for this reason. We take these people in, they tell us they're fleeing the bad Muslims, the bad side.
They're fleeing chaos and danger, but
yeah, and they come and they bring with them some of the bad. They hide, and the bad guys hide in with them and come over here, and they don't turn them in.
You know, Jim, I'm trying to think of an occasion where that is the case, where refugees were admitted and a member of, you know, in that flow, then committed some atrociety in the United States.
The Boston Massacre.
They
came in as children, and then became radicalized while they were here.
While they were here.
Yeah.
So it was conditions on the probably net, and then...
I don't think they were refugees, by the way.
They're just immigrants.
Yeah. I don't know if they had refugee status.
Jim, I missed one example. Do you have another example?
Well, whether they come with them and they are quiet about them, or whether they develop after they get here, they become radicalized, as you say, even then they don't report them and turn them in and say, hey, look out.
But there's no evidence. There's no evidence of that, Jim. My great pain in what you're saying is that as near as every majority group in America, we tend to idealize our country, and there's some certain aspects of our country that are exquisite and wonderful and sui generis, and I am grateful every day that I'm part of this great country. But one of the tendencies in our lives is whatever new group comes would get exactly the same assertions about it. The Irish are coming to destroy our way of life. The Jews don't belong here.
I have Irish blood in me. But
that's part of the real American story. We're frightened of difference.
Well, we should be cautious of it.
What's the difference between
frightened and cautious? Is a two-year vetting process in order for any Syrian refugee to get into the United States fairly cautious?
One thing is...
Hey, Jim.
Interview the group and ask them, are some of the bad hiding in with you and coming with you? Do you want the problem to come with you? And if they're hiding in there, they'll turn them in. They'll say, no, we truly do not want them coming with us.
And by the way, the terrorists in Paris were all citizens of Belgium or France.
It doesn't have to do with the country. It has to do with their ideology.
They weren't Syrian refugees.
One of
them had a false paper that said he was.
It's
just how he got back into France.
The ones that are trying to flee bad.
You would welcome.
Yes. And if the bad are hiding in with them, they should then be reporting that and pointing them out. And they don't do that.
You don't know that.
But yeah, I think there's a number of intelligence operatives that would probably beg to disagree. I mean, we've been getting a lot of information from Muslims. I think that's one thing that concern we need to be mindful of is that while we do have Islam, we do have enemies who proclaim that they are Muslim, and I think on this show we're all in agreement that that's not an authentic interpretation of Islam. We also have a lot of friends who are helping and turning people in. One correction: the Zarevnev brothers, the ones that committed the bombing, and they were not refugees. Their parents came on a tourist visa, but they were granted asylum. So they didn't come in as refugees, but they were granted asylum. And certainly that is a concern. I mean, I do think that is a concern, but that doesn't mean we need to compromise who we are as a people.
Right. We just need to adopt a vetting process.
You know, Jim,
that is the most cautious.
With 2 years, you know,
here.
The rabbi asked you if 2 years would be enough, and you kind of went on a different tangent. Is 2 years enough for the vetting process, in your opinion?
I don't know that it's a time thing so much as the...
No, the wait time between an application for asylum in the United States and a Syrian, which is why we have so few Syrian refugees in this country, is like there are 50-some in all of California. You know, it's a fairly big state, which is easy to track, I would think, as well. But it's a two-year vetting process in order for someone to get asylum who's a Syrian from the United States State Department and all the other forces that are involved in screening.
I don't know.
But I'm pretty sure it's the State Department that does the... you're now eligible for admission.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim, I appreciate your call. Hope you have a blessed Sunday. We're coming up on a break. Thank you for being a part of Religion on the Line. The number to call is 576-7710, KCMO Talk Radio, Religion on the Line.
Here's an idea I've been throwing around.
Okay. We're just thinking out loud here.
Thinking out loud.
We've made some changes recently.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
And you've responded in a big way.
That's a good point, too. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get.
We're fine-tuning the lineup.
I actually kind of suggested that.
Carson in the Morning is now on 6 till 10.
It may have already happened.
Followed by Steve Sutton, 10 till noon.
Wow, this is just too much.
Greg Knapp still brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
That kind of talk is what gets everybody going.
This is KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM and AM 710.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine, our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Did you know that your children may be eligible for free or low-cost health insurance? Health insurance programs like Medicaid and CHIP help to pay for regular checkups, emergency care, hospital stays, vision and dental care, vaccines, and medicines. Call the Su Familia helpline today at 1-866-783-2645 or text INSURE to 805-722 to learn more.
Message and data rates may apply. Text STOP to quit.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before. You heard it on the radio. Only the radio. Hi, I'm Mitch Holtus, telling you that if you want your customers to remember your business in a similar way, go to cumulusradio.com to learn how. You're listening right now, and so are your customers. In fact, this Cumulus Media radio station has enough potential customers listening to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. Go to cumulusradio.com today and build your business. Change your business with radio.
I love being a part of Action Team. It helps me help other people. It helps me feel good.
Being a part of a team always feels good. Go for it. Don't even hesitate.
For more than a decade, Major League Baseball players and Action Teams of high school students have been working together to train and inspire the next generation of volunteers.
Once you get there and realize how much you can change someone's life, it's one of the best feelings in the world.
Just that simple act that takes, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of your time is making a difference and is transforming someone else's life.
All-stars Giancarlo Stanton and Chris Capuano join Action Team captains to make a difference in their communities. And you can too.
Just try it. Just go to one event, one Action Team event.
If we all show up together, that's what it's all about. It's not just one person, it's a group, it's a team.
It's been incredibly rewarding for me. It'll just make you feel so good about yourself.
I'd do anything to convince you just to be a part of this.
For more information, go to actionteam.org.
Hey, this is Holly Starr.
And this is Lauren McCarthy. We want to thank all of our veterans for your service.
Cars for Christmas and Cars for Heroes helps over 300 families each year.
Because we called you this morning to tell you that we're going to give you a car.
If you'd like to donate a vehicle or money,
please visit cars4heroes.org.
Brew the perfect pot of coffee every time with new Folgers Perfect Measures. They come in 5 amazing flavors: Classic Roast, 100% Colombian, Black Silk, Breakfast Blend, and Classic Decaf. Log on to kcmotalkradio.com for your chance to win $100 in new Folgers Perfect Measures.
Hi, folks. Alan Thick here. For some time now, I've been offering tips about how to deal with the IRS if you've fallen behind on your taxes, telling you to call Optima Tax Relief, because they're the best trained, most trustworthy, blah, blah, and blah. But now the message is so familiar, you may not be listening. Oh, it's him again. Well, here's the important message. Call Optima Tax Relief. They can help you resolve your IRS issues. The government, you know, can garnish your wages. They can levy your bank account, even take your home or business. To be fair, the IRS also has a new program called the Fresh Start Initiative to help you with that debt. So we've given you clever slogans. Don't mess with the IRS. They'd rather settle for less than bother you more. Now the clever thing for you to do is call Optima Tax Relief now for your free consultation.
Call 800-470-5688. 800-470-5688. 800-470-5688.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Greg Knapp.
Coming up Monday on the show, we'll get you all the latest local and national stories that matter most to you. Traffic and weather on the fours. And you think one vote doesn't make a difference? Wait till you hear this story. Greg Knapp Experience, 4 to 6 p.m.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line on KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM on the internet, kcmotalkradio.com. The number to call is 576-7710. I'm Pastor Barry Freese from McMurray United Methodist Church in Clay Como, along with
Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple Bnei Yehudi. Now, Bear, before we take any more calls, and I hope people will call 576-7710.
Yeah, we've got one teed up here.
Yeah, I just want to read, because we've heard lots of stuff about Islam, obviously. And this is from someone I know. I would not call this person a friend, but certainly an acquaintance. She's the director of interfaith engagement at Northwestern University. She's a serious Muslim. Her name is Tahira Ahmed. She's quoted on her Facebook page. Praying for Beirut, praying for Paris, praying for Syria, praying for Jews, praying for Christians, praying for Muslims and all the traditions, praying for Mizzou, praying for Yale, praying for black, brown, white, and all the shades, because the soul of a human being is not comprised of any color. But prayer alone is not enough. These traumatic attacks are rooted in systemic global tragedies of indifference to terror when it does not affect our own.
Boom. That's a nice one. My compliments to you for finding it, and to Northwestern for hiring her. Boy, that's great. We've got Religion on the Line. Mike, you called in about the vetting process. Is that correct? Good morning.
I called in because I stayed up last night and watched a lot of public broadcasting, and it was from the university down here. And
which university is that?
I'm sorry?
Which university is that?
UCM down at Warrensburg. They have a public television process. And
sure.
I kept hearing the vetting process in the talking head shows that would be on the television today. But the vetting process was never explained because to have a vetting process, it would seem to me that you weigh the person that you're looking at with the records of that person. And in those war-torn countries, there's no remaining records.
Well, it's certainly very hard to do any research, that's for sure.
Well, if it's hard to do research, then we don't know what we don't know.
And, I would suspect that they have interviews after, you know, I don't pretend that I'm an expert on this, but every so often I do have confidence that the government isn't totally, in every case, incompetent and incapable.
Ooh, living on the edge there, Michael.
I don't have the same confidence in
people
that are in the decision-making process at this time.
They don't care about our safety, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sorry?
They don't care about our safety is what you're saying.
I think they're more self-centered about their own situations that they're experiencing than they are for doing all the
these
jobs.
These are not politicians, Mike. We're not talking about politicians. We're talking about professional people who work in government and whose jobs are what they are. You could, of course, slam them and call them pointy-headed bureaucrats, but
when they don't do their job, then it's hard to find someone to accept the responsibility for a job that was supposed to be done that wasn't done.
Okay.
And I think at this time we could...
We have been, thank God, fairly safe. Not
100%. Okay, here's what I would suggest, that maybe to take a break from all the claims and the counterclaims that are being made right now and focus on Thanksgiving and focus on a Thanksgiving proclamation by President Washington. The first Thanksgiving proclamation is a new nation that was proclaimed on October 3rd, 1789, after Congress had... The same time they finished the Bill of Rights, and everybody went back from that time, and it gives us a better understanding of how this nation was founded and what the consensus was about how we should be governed.
You mean a nation of religious refugees, people leaving their home country seeking asylum or seeking a new life free from religious persecution? I mean, that's what the Pilgrims were. I mean, that seems to kind of fall into the point I think we're trying to make, which is that while we have to take proper security concerns, and I think it's important to point out that any refugee coming to this country has to go through a much more lengthy vetting process than what's been happening in Europe. I mean, Europe, you just got to get into one European country, and then that's all. You can go anywhere in Europe once you get there. United States, you got to go through Homeland Security. You got to go through the FBI, the UN, the State Department. So there is a lot of vetting. But, Mike, we're running out of time. So
I don't mean the same thing.
You know, Mike, anyway, I'm grateful for your reflection. Hang on, Mike.
Everyone
Mike, hang on just a second. I'm grateful for your reflection, and I'm find myself reflecting on the reality that we're about to celebrate a holiday where the pale folks were received so well by folks of color, and that is the story for Thanksgiving.
All right. Oh, so anyway, I think that's a great point. And Mike's kind of maybe stealing our thunder. Maybe we should, for next week's show, our Thanksgiving show, we should go and take a look at that proclamation.
Well, you know, the Reverend Dr. Robert Lee Hill will be back then, and
I look forward to
hearing that as I have my coffee at home.
Yeah, I understand he's going to be calling in later on today, too.
You know, I'm not so sure.
Oh, okay.
It could be, and of course, we'll let him talk if he decides to call in. But he's still active.
He's somewhere out there, right?
Personal.
It was good of Mike to call our attention to Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation.
You know, I appreciate that. He did a good job with that. Michael, do you have particular plans for the week ahead because of the holiday?
Yeah, I hope to be in to mark Thanksgiving with my 103-year-old mom and extended family there, then be in the studio on Sunday morning.
Oh, hey, studio.
I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Wow. You know, last time you and I were here together, we kind of were missing that important third person on the other side of the glass. You know, we will be going, we being the Freeze folks, we'll be going to the family.
To a break.
To a family farm, yes. And to that, too. KCMO Talk Radio, Religion on the Line. Other side of the break, call 576-7710.